Welcome to the With Will podcast. We're here to entertain, inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm AR Palver, wondering why the hell this 4th of July weekend hasn't ended yet.
I am DevQ, and I am constantly surrounded by barking dogs and explosions.
But that's also normal for you, Dev. That isn't like a this week thing. Although I will say, I went to bed last night at like 3 a.m. and someone's already setting off fireworks. I'm like, motherfucker, it's the 3rd. It's right past midnight on the 3rd. It's not even the right day.
I'll let you know when it starts up over here. I'm sure I'll be able to hear it.
It's been going on for like 3 days straight, but also I'm in Philly, so.
Oh, I'm in Wisconsin. It's ongoing.
How has the last few weeks been for everyone?
Has it been 2 weeks already? I can't tell.
Yeah, I'm just watching as the crazy guy with no friends keeps trying to ruin Twitter more and more. It's almost impressive.
I'm glad I'm not doing so much stuff on Twitter anymore. All my stuff is pretty IRL right now.
I helped Discotech open a TikTok. I'm the least TikTok person there should be.
This is Fenneco.
Go to a school and commit crimes.
The only response to that is Fenneco laughing.
Yeah. Because that is the funny thing. Like, AR and Dev can both confirm, I'm actually rather funny, but I try to, like, present the information and move on and blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, oh, good. That's the exact opposite of what everyone wants on TikTok. What stupid clips do I have from shows I've worked on? Here's Sana explaining how to draw her. And the last couple weeks, Toei and Bandai went insane.
Yep.
It's weird because it's timed so close to DigiFest that they could just go completely nuts on one day, but they have to split it now.
It's Digimonth now.
Yeah. So we have a bunch to go over, so let's start. First up, Seekers, Chapter 2 finally began, and Chapter 2-1, I would say, was actually pretty solid, partially because it's 3 times as long as any other chapter, so while it still has way too much exposition, you actually get stuff happening.
Yes, and it wasn't entirely just Digipolice bullshit. Yes.
It also focused on a little more on Leon and a little less on AG.
Yes, but then Chapter 2-2 is exactly back to what we had been doing. Which is, like, I didn't hate Chapter 2-2, but it goes back to, this is basically just exposition, nothing happens, like, oh, they're introducing Marvin, which, they introduce Marvin, but there's nothing interesting enough about Marvin they had to hide who he was in the first place. Like, on the website, they put question mark instead of his name. There's no secret to be revealed with his introduction that made that necessary.
Maybe they just didn't bother naming him until then.
He's just another SOC guy.
Yeah. But yeah, Chapter 2-2 is almost nothing. It's like, I want to talk to more about 2-1 because I legitimately liked it. And it made me go, man, we've talked about it before. I think if they just did it once a month, we'd actually be much more positive about it.
I'm sticking with this thing of only reading the 2 chapters right before the show, and it seems to work better doing it in clumps. Doing it section by section seems like a waste to me.
Also, I want the experience that they've built for it.
Yeah, we know that's crap.
But that's...
I'd rather give myself any semblance of hope of enjoying this.
But
it's working a little
bit. But yeah, 2
it's working better.
Two-one really worked being longer because you got they're really in love with exposition and just like describing shit.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Yeah.
Leon, you have PTSD. Do you need cuddles?
Yeah, they're really intent on showing their work and not telling a story.
Well, here's the thing. This is theoretically what a lot of fans have claimed to want. This generically, quote unquote, adult thing.
Yeah, they say that, and then they get it.
Yeah,
and this is what it looks like. That's why you don't always listen to fans and that sort of thing.
And Pulsemon is there.
He's apparently an elf.
The trailer is fine. I have a weird like thing about the trailers because they're fine. I find them less interesting than Did those actually have titles, the Vital Bracelet Shorts, or did we just kind of call them the Vital Bracelet Shorts?
think we just called them the Vital Bracelet shorts.
Those...
They're not as, they don't pop as much as the Vital Bracelet ones.
Because these...
They're just like, this is the... They actually have to try to string a story together.
Yeah, these try to frame themselves as, here is a movie trailer for a movie of the week that does not exist, but you will read over months. While the other one, it just is, here's 90 seconds of a scene, and then the next one will be the next 90 seconds of the scene, so they just get to have fun with it. So they're functionally the same thing, but these try to, like, pretend there's a story there, but they're not.
Yeah, that's the... I watched the... This trailer is way less interesting to me, because you know it's going to take several months to tell it, and it doesn't look like there's that much going on.
And you also get the weird narrator who talks like a YouTuber who doesn't know how to narrate. AG, you Haggard, you can do it.
AG, you have the ability.
And Lugamon. And every time Lugamon said, it's like enunciated kind of odd, where like it almost sounds like text-to-speech, Lugamon.
Are we sure it isn't?
I don't think it is. But yeah,
well, when you start doing your text to speech and on TikTok, when you get good at that, you can give us a report.
Also, let's just remember, by the time of chapter two is called Hacker Leon, WWW Airlines Flight 626.
Yes. Oceanic Flight 815.
Chapter 2-1 is almost all about Leon, but the flight is minimal. 2-2 is completely back to the chapter one AG stuff. It's gone entirely.
This is what's scared. They're gonna be telling the Oceanic Flight 815. They're gonna be telling that periodically through the whole chapter until we get the whole story at the end.
You hope?
No, I don't hope. I just want the whole thing now instead of trying to space that out, because it doesn't seem like it's gonna be. It seems more simple than they're gonna want to try to let on that it is.
Well, that's kind of been the real issue with it, is everything's more simple than what they actually seem to think they're doing.
Which is the reason for the expository. They're doing all the world building to make it seem way more interesting and
I did see a worse response to chapter 2-2 than ours. Are you ready? I'm going to link this in our private chat, and you guys can try not to laugh.
Oh no. Oh no.
The response is someone begging that they end this and do Ghost Game Season 2, which does not solve the issue.
Did they want a serialized novel of Ghost Game Season 2? Because it's not going to be any better. I got news for you.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing. I was... Chapter 2-1, I actually remember reading it going, oh, we're getting all this fucking exposition again. And then I looked at where my scroll bar was. I was like, oh, there's actually going to be story here. Oh, how nice. And I actually enjoyed it. It wasn't good, but I actually enjoyed it a decent bit. Just because it had
more.
It was
actually somewhat engaging.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's still potential here. They just need to, like, do stuff.
I honestly thought for a minute that I'm like, oh, they did not announce the day and time for 2-2. Maybe they'll make it every other week or every... And it's like, no, they just had so much stuff they didn't announce, and they announced it the day before. And now they're back to being like, but it's no longer on Sunday. It's now Saturday night for me. It's like, oh, good. You're putting it up against all the Sunday morning anime. So you're really not aiming for anyone to read this. And then, I will say, V-Jump had a very nice secret spread, though. You get the little preview of Chapter 2, the cards, the linker band stuff. It actually looked very nice.
I mean, anything that focuses on Leon more than AG is a win in my book.
Yes, but we're already done with that is the problem. We had one week where it's like, oh man, it's interesting setup, and then it's back to... whatever the hell's going on.
Leon's just a little easier on the eyes. Get less of an edgelord thing going on.
No. And that's where the funny thing was. I was thinking about the edgelord thing. The exact moment where, like, Lugamon put his back foot up and peed. And it's like, that is such an edgelord thing to write, to be like, no, man, this is a mature story. The dog peed.
Yeah, that's absolutely someone thinking, look, this is for adults. This Digimon just took a leak.
Yeah. We got more
rated M for mature.
We got more Seekers fan art. And this is where, like, the anniversary week, they missed stuff. They did not post if they did this on the anniversary week or not, and I just didn't check.
It doesn't look like it. I see a lot. It doesn't look like there's too many new ad.
Okay,
ones
so you
added.
Think they didn't. Okay.
I don't think
and
so.
And then
no.
We got a mess of vital bracelet stuff. So first up, the second special selection's up. Forest Guardians, Holy Wings. Nothing really that we didn't know. I like getting the sprites, though, of some stuff like Dominamon. That sprite is amazing. The sprite work on these is pretty good. I think Morphomon looks especially... I look at the Morphomon sprite and I start laughing because it's really, like, good.
He's the best boy.
These are set together. These will be the end of August. I would not be shocked if they do a third one. It feels like the first two worked well, minus where, like, I think they should make, like, you vote for an evolution family, because some of these are kind of fucking broken. Like, we get three Digimon with the butterfly theme, and then Bancho Lilymon, which here's the thing. I'm pretty sure I voted for Bancho Lilymon, but breaks the theme. And then for the ultimate theme break, we get the... we get the silver rearized Digimon, and then one of them just is not, but the rest are. Good old Jazamon, and also that one Digimon from Savers, and then two more Jazamons, and also Wraithmon is there. I will say, ignoring like up or down on the fan vote stuff, they've actually chosen some nice evolution paths for these. Like, you get Tentomon.
Which is a good amount of variety.
Yeah, like, you get Tentomon from Adventure, you get Lalamon from Savers, you get random bug Digimon to fill out the roster. Then the other one, you get Piomon from Adventure, you get the Angel family, which has a few new Digimon, a Digimon that does not show up that often. You get Falcomon from Savers, then you get the Chinese mobile game ones. There's three of those. They're well thought out. And also,
like, with the VE memory ones, they can just cram more into them than
the previous
ones.
Yeah, they can, which makes it... I think it helps when they do these multi-lines where it feels like they're filled out. Then Premium Bandai, they put up, again, the Linker Band and the Lugamon Dim, which we knew they were going to do this. They said they were going to. I'm very surprised it's identical. I thought it would be the same, but like they would include the stickers or something to make it different. And instead it's nope, same thing. Still not up at Premium Bandai USA though.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that.
I'm kind of waiting for that. I'm at where I'm like, I kind of want to get it, but also I don't want to pay the intermediary fees.
Same, which is why I'm waiting.
Because functionally, I'm buying these as collector's things. I have not... used a single one. Dev, I think you tried using it as one and then it turned into a collectible. Or are you using
Shenanigans keep a curve. Oh, I did not actually acquire one yet, just some of the dims.
Okay,
because they keep showing me pretty colors that don't exist.
Yeah.
Yet.
Okay, that makes sense. Then we get Ryudamon and Doraemon dims for
Yes.
And these are for Sons of Chaos and the Crack Team. I will say, the actual dim colors, the purple makes sense. The orange does not feel like as bright as they seem to like to do these, and I actually kind of like that. Where it's kind of a slightly duller orange, which I'm guessing is just
it's
the photo.
It's like a coppery tone.
Yes. Yeah. And the lines are interesting to me. So the Ryudamon line is, we get Ryudamon this time without Espeon. Along with various Digimon from the DigiPolice D Brigade, and also just some interesting choices that makes you wonder if they will show up. I think we all want King Edamon.
Yes.
Then the Doraemon line, we get a number of different Doraemon lines, which I think actually fills out the roster really well.
Yeah.
And then Sons of Chaos and
Crack
Team.
The regular, the Death X, and all the others.
And I will say, the nice thing here is the Alphamon is the one you have to actually unlock. You would think, because here's the thing, like, when I first get these, I open up the image, I start looking through it, I'm like, oh, there's no Alphamon. That's an interesting, never mind, there he is.
I feel like the secret one is Oryuken, more than likely.
It's or you can if they're paired. Some of these have done it where they aren't quite paired. It's an upgrade to someone. So it could easily be where it's, okay, it's or you can for the Dorumon one and the Ryudamon one is, who knows, just a Chaosmon. They've definitely done that type of thing before, which is an upgrade. This is where not getting the band is better. Because some people are disappointed that we're not getting two bands with these. Both of these in a set are the same price as the Lugamon one with the band. Would you rather get the band or a second DIM?
I want all of them.
Oh, and I forgot. Not quite new news. I did order the where they gave you the Ryudamon and Espeomon thing, but with the Wormmon one.
Oh, yeah, the Primal Warriors.
It was here within 4 days, and the way they packaged it was smart. They had really, really good sandwich baggies, and they were just in the baggie together, which means when they got them from China, someone had to sit there and put one each in the baggies and then throw them in the warehouse. And then when they ship them, they're just, okay, this goes in a shipping thing, this goes in a shipping thing. And it was packaged together nicely. I already had the Espeomon and Ryudamon one, but I didn't have the Worm. I was one of the people who missed out on it when they closed it a couple days early. And it's like, great. Now I actually think I have everything minus that. It's, was it the Weregurumon one or the Metal Greymon one that was stupidly done? It was Weregurumon. It was the black Weregurumon.
The first one?
Yeah.
Shadow Hell?
Because the Black Roar was the one that came with V-Jump and a bunch of promotional stuff. The Weregrumon one is the one you had to do the contest for, I think.
Yeah, it was like a lottery or some bullshit.
Yeah, so I got that. And I'll order these when they show up at Premium Bandai USA, I think. It's one of those things where, like, if I were ordering something from an intermediary and I knew it would come at roughly the same time, I would just do it. But not at on its own thing.
I still really want Premium Bandai to get the life-size Digimon plushies. Like, please. Please.
They're not going to. And then they did a preview video for the Lugamon DIM and Linker Band, which those are about what they are. They should have given up on that classroom branding, didn't they? In fact, I think...
To be honest, I didn't watch it.
I think everyone who was there during classroom is actually gone at this point. And then, for the important news... Digimon Dreamers start going up. We are not going to talk about past the chapters they've put up, just so no one has to worry about spoilers. And the translation is good. And here's my favorite part. Functionally, everyone who has been reading Seekers and can now read Dreamers, read Dreamers, like, how did Dreamers beat the shit out of Seekers for, like, exposition in 10 pages? And it's interesting.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that Dreamers is a good example of keeping it simple.
Yes, because
like,
it's...
They know they don't need to explain much. Like, yes. Here you go.
They don't sit there and go... They tell you the town that there's no one champion or above. Mm-hmm. They don't stop and go, and over here's the restaurant, which was built 50 years ago during the time of Digi-War, and then... Also,
there's this advertisement on the wall.
Yes. They don't stop and describe it. They show you a few things. They move on. And it's all very personable. It's fun.
They also do that with establishing the characters as well. Like, Ritsu is... They just drop in Ritsu's character traits as they need to. Like, oh, he's just not that interested. I think he's kind of an indoorsy. Oh, he's a... Is just little things here and there, like his likes and dislikes and stuff, and his temperaments. They just incorporate those so much more naturally than Eiji, where they give you everything at the beginning, and then he opens his mouth and nothing comes out.
Yeah. And so some interesting localizations. The first up, it's being localized by Metabang, who did a decent job and is also known for questionable payment amounts, just to be fair. They're one of the ones that people are like, oh, the what they actually pay people seems unusually low and not quite right. But let's see where that goes and where Dreamers go. So first up, they actually gave it an English logo that fits in elements of both classical English logos and the full title, which I think works really well. The translation is nice. They've kept all the terms straight, even when localizing, which works really well.
Yeah.
The font choices are very good. Everything fits. There's one or two places where you can kind of see stuff underneath that they didn't quite erase right, but that's not abnormal and sometimes is done on purpose. I can't say if it was done here. But it is an excellent localization for the first time we're actually getting a Digimon manga. Because for anyone who may be confused by that statement, the stuff we've gotten in the past was actually a manhwa.
We've never
actually gotten any Digimon manga, and getting it with good presentation, and not only that, the images are generally low resolution, but they save them at such a high quality, they actually scale really nicely when you're reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is done well here for reading it. Really, they only have one flaw at this point, which is they have the manga there. It's going weekly. You need something to actually sell people, because this was meant to sell people on, pay attention to Digimon, go watch Ghost Game, blah, blah, blah. But now this is its own thing. You need a single action figure of Pulsemon or something.
Yeah, really.
They do have the Digimon.
No, that's what I'm saying. You need to take the Digimon figure, but remold the head so it's Tenryu Buno style art.
Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to sell any of Seeker's Pulsemon.
But yeah, so so the presentation's good. We get a chapter week, and here's the honest truth: in nine pages, it feels like it's building a richer world than Seeker's is through endless exposition.
Yeah, they've accomplished just as much.
Yeah, and we're only 19 pages into a manga, and we already have more.
Yeah,
which also it's a good reminder why, Tenryu Buno was there at the beginning, and he's always popped back because because he's writing this, he didn't write V-Tamer, but he's a good visual storyteller.
I mean, I think that Dreamers, honestly, has did a better job in its first, like you said, 19 pages than they did in V-Tamer, if I'm being honest. V-Tamer takes a little bit before it's going.
But V-Tamer was also the weird type of thing where it's designed because they're going to do an anime, but also it has to set up being the multimedia thing.
Mm-hmm. And V-Tamer also, they know they got a little more time to play with. Dreamers being monthly
V-Tamer was monthly.
V-Tamer was monthly too? Okay, yes. Well.
This is different. This is in a magazine. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. It came up in conversation with a few different people where people are like, Strongest Jump, it's good spin-offs, attempts to get adult fans like, that's not Psycho Jump at all.
That's selling stuff to little kids.
Okay, 86% of the market for Psycho Jump, and this is by Shueisha's own sales numbers, 86% of the sales are to elementary school students. Yeah. And a good chunk of those are young. It is a manga full of spin-offs to help you introduce the stuff that you might see on a Sunday morning or haven't seen yet. This is designed for little kids, but enjoyable for all if done well. And so far, it's done well. So yeah.
The format actually reminds me more of the Come On Digimon one.
Yeah, it's structured very well. And I actually think this is a case where the 9-page chapters helps, because he has to figure out how to be brief.
Yeah.
And he to be fair, Tenryu Buno has done a lot of these tie-in mangas, and that's why he does so many of them, is he's really good at it. He's done them for Digimon in the past, he's done them for Pokemon, he's done them for other brands, where he's very good at getting to the core of this stuff very quickly. We opened up a little forum section for it. For now, we may not keep it, but we will see. Vandy saw what the description for the section was, and I got a random, get the fuck out of here with that description, which was, does Pulsemon dream of electric sheep? My response to her was, you should be lucky. At one point I was deciding if I should put Sheepmon, and then Digimon was 26 years old a week ago. We got some
fuck world.
Yeah, we got some fun social art with definitely some things that people are taking as suggestions. It may not be, but we will see. The art, we have Teriyamon Jashu reading the 25th anniversary book, Lugamon exercising, and the one people took as a suggestion was Tentomon with the pendulum. It's an anniversary year for the pendulum. That's not necessarily suggestive, minus that they like reselling stuff. So it would not be a shock.
Please give me pendulums.
Yeah.
I want a pendulum color.
And then Masashi Harada, who's in charge of Digimon at Bandai, posted a little tweet basically saying, it's been 26 years since the birth of the digital monster. Thank you to everyone around the world who loves the series. And that's the day when Bandai just went fucking nuts with stuff. Like, a lot of what we've already read has been from that. But then they kept going. So they're bringing back the Digimon Color 1 and 2 for reprint. I like what they're doing here, though. This is very clever on their part. They're doing one of the polls, but people can vote for the colors. And all the color choices for the 1 and 2 are shells that have been used in Japan or elsewhere. These are all ones that were used for the 1 or 2 in different countries.
Oh.
So I believe the clear, what they call clear yellow, I believe was a U.S. color. People keep going, oh, clear yellow, that's a nice name. I'm like, no, it's expired Ecto Cooler. it's that color, but it's not quite green enough.
Oh, God, I want Ecto Cooler.
Yeah, I'm just thirsty in general.
Aren't we all? We're getting to that point of the year where it gets hotter and you just start noticing you're drinking more and more.
I've had to be outside for an extended point of time for 3 days in a row, yeah. And my body's not made for that.
Like, it's 90 degrees at night.
And to punish the fans, they're doing the multi-vote again, where you can vote for as many things as you want, but they're only going to reprint the top vote-getter for the 1 and the top vote-getter for the 2.
So only vote for Ecto Cooler, gotcha.
Yeah. So I look at these and I try to think, not like the joke answer, but what is the one that I am most interested in seeing based on the niceness? I would say for the 1, either the blue colors I think looks the nicest, at least to me.
I kind of like seeing the guts of the machinery.
See, it's hard for me to gauge because we don't know how like clear the new version of clear will be. So
is it frosted? Is it more translucent? Yeah.
And then for hard 2, for 2 is weird because the one that I like the most for 2, I would not vote for because we've basically gotten it, which is that clear red. That's like, they did the X2 and it kind of looks like that. So I think here, probably just expired Ecto Cooler, honestly.
I kind of want to go with the clear.
Which clear?
Just the entirely clear.
Oh, the entirely clear with the white border?
Yeah, because personally, yeah. I think that would be fun to do modifications to.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so that will be open for a bit, and we'll get this. It's going to be Ecto Cooler for both, isn't it?
Yes. And incidentally, I just heard my first firework, so it's on.
I've been hearing that for days.
Oh, no, I've been hearing it for all weekend. Yeah. This is the first, I should say, that's the first one tonight.
Ah, and then the Ghost Game soundtrack is streaming out of Japan. It feels a bit late.
Yeah.
The show ended 3 months ago. Although I will say it's nice that it's up. It's the full BGM. They did not include the TV show themes.
Oh, okay.
Which weirdly, it did not have all of them anyways. It only had the opening and like 3 of them, I think. The weird part is the CD used the key art with the perfects. This goes back and uses the original one. But am I wrong? Or do they use like a different drop shadow on the logo? It feels like it's standing out differently to me. And we're back to that weird...
I thought they had to go back and check.
Something just looks different. It's not important enough to check. It just looks odd to me. And remember when we thought these were going to be the characters? Like, oh, Ruli's going to be energetic and interesting. Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
It's like we were trying to like judge the show based on these. It's like, oh, the only one of these characters that is accurate is Kiyoshiro.
And
maybe Jellymon, yeah. But Jellymon was not quite that squishy. And then the Digigift wallpaper for July was put up. It is Hiro and Gabumon with Tanabata.
It's so goddamn cute.
Yeah, it's my wallpaper now.
I really like it. This is one where I did go ahead and clean up the noise, but where once again they did the weird low resolution dates, so that I didn't touch. But
mine let me crop out the calendar, so it only has the image and a little bit of the light.
I will say this: the image cleaned up really nice when I filtered it to get rid of all the compression noise that they put on it. It really cleaned up nicely. I was really happy how that came out. So that's for July. And they also tease that, hey, we have news coming for not July. Not for Ghost Game, but we do have news coming up.
Woo-hoo.
And then, okay, so everyone was waiting for July 1st to comment on Adventure going up on Hulu. And then Wednesday night, I'm looking at something, and I get a message from someone going, you've mentioned Hoopla in the past. I thought I'd let you know. The show has shown up on Hoopla. And I'm like, Hoopla's down, right? Hoopla's down at the moment, so I have to wait a few hours to check. Because Hoopla just happened to go down at the time. It's like, oh, it is completely here.
The prophecy has been fulfilled.
Yeah. And
bandwidth overload, everyone's watching it.
And here's the thing. A lot of people were starting to like, no one knows what that is. Toei does not doing. No, it's not necessarily well known. It's a great place to put it because there is no the entire barrier to entry to Hoopla is you have to go to a library once and get a library card and not be one of the odd off libraries that does not participate. It is a very low barrier to entry to watch a show and also to have access to more stuff. I think it's great that it's there. I'm not going to watch it there because I can watch it on Hulu and elsewhere, but it's good that it's there. The only negative is it's one of the shows on Hoopla that you do not check out by volume. A checkout is per episode, which fair enough, but like, for example, my library, you only get 7 checkouts a month. And when you think about 23-minute cartoon, or you could check out a book, an audiobook, a movie, the value... it's free regardless, but the value proposition of what to use your time with is less. And then it went up on Hulu. It is all there. Some interesting stuff has popped up, though, from this. Do you remember how I got the first and last episodes when it went up on Microsoft?
Yeah.
And I commented on the songs? Those are the only two endings they use.
Oh.
Probably
the whole thing?
Toei probably decided they wanted to pay to do localized ones, and those are probably the ones that they were most easily able to have those mechanical rights. Because, like, remember the one was a K-pop band, the other was a big producer and songwriter.
Yeah,
so the one flaws is we do not get the one with the dancing.
Oh yeah,
where Mimi and Palmon dance at the end that everyone likes. That's not one of them, as far as I know. So the one interesting thing from people watching through the dub, they apparently do spice it up a bit that people are having wildly different opinions from the sub. So it's interesting to see the difference of opinion from people, one, discovered from the dub, or the people who saw the sub, and also seeing where Toei went, we're going to do English titling, but we're not going to check the spelling correctly. So... we get fun of, where is it? I'm going to pull up. Here we go. It's time for the appearance of the greatest loser in the franchise.
Because Espeon wasn't in it.
He loses again, Millenniumon. Are you ready for how they spell his name in the titling?
Oh, no. No. Oh, God.
There's not many mistakes, but I will spell the whole name.
I mean, to be fair, Millennium is a really hard word to spell.
L. No, it's the first I is replaced with an E. Millenniumon. They missed the one part that they couldn't mess up.
Oh, you can mess that up.
That's the thing. Like, if you got the numbers of L's, N's, or M's wrong, I would not blame someone.
Millennium. There are so many places to trip up on Millennium.
But,
I always have to
no,
double check.
They spelled
I spell
it. They spelled it M E.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm forgiving of all spelling mistakes of Millennium.
No, see, here's the thing.
I mean, obviously they should check it, but whatever. It's Millennium on. I don't care. Go ahead, misspell his name. He deserves it. He went down like a little bitch.
He has never not gone down like a bitch. In Adventure 02, he appears for 5 seconds, and he's dead.
Went down like a bitch.
In Adventure, they hype him up as being something big. He goes down like a bitch, he comes back even bigger, and then he gets beaten up by Goku.
Went down like a bitch again.
Then in Ghost Game, they hype him up as a cool, interesting thing, and he gets beaten up by a normal girl. Not even like a superhero.
Like, went down like a bitch and became a paperweight.
Yes. And then people are like, and then I remember everyone being like, there's a plan here. No, he's just a paperweight. They showed him sleeping once after that, and that was it. But yeah, people seem to be...
Pelicans keeps him in his room.
People seem happy with the dub so far, which is nice. The cast is very happy that people can watch it easily now.
I'm going to try and... I'm pretty sure my brother has Hulu, so I'm going to try and corrupt
him. I have Hulu. I can watch it whenever I want to.
I will watch it at some point when I have time. Yeah. See, here's the interesting thing. Functionally, Microsoft functioned as early premium VOD for it, which is not that uncommon for stuff.
Yeah.
But what's funny is I'm looking at like the stuff that's coming out on premium VOD on other services, just as like... Because this is what Microsoft could probably has a deal to get. It's like, oh... The Transformers movie in a few days. I can't remember his fucking name. The artsy guy. Asteroid City.
The artsy guy. Okay.
Wes Anderson.
Okay.
His movie's coming out in a few days. And then I saw, guess what came out yesterday? And when I'm done with work for July, I'm going to watch it. Because it's the cheapest premium VOD I've ever seen because no one gives a shit. It's Saint Seiya! The Knights of the Zodiac live-action movie.
Oh, I was bumming around Pluto today and saw that and laughed.
It's on Pluto already? The movie?
The cartoon.
Yeah. Okay, so are you ready for the price to get Saint Seiya early in 4K? Are you ready?
59 cents.
$15. Generally, the cheapest for premium VOD is 20, and it's normally more like 30 or 35. I will pay $15 to see Saint Seiya. That's what I would have paid to get a ticket to see it at theaters. And then, moving on from Saint Seiya, like most of the world has, hey, there's some discotheque news. We opened the sub-discussion thread because Blu-rays are showing up, people happy with it, people asking questions about choices, and that will wait until it's released when me and ONK will discuss it. I'm very happy with the reactions people have so far to it.
The reaction, shut up and take my money, because that's the correct one.
That has basically been the reaction so far. It's like, I've been waiting for this for 25 years, and it's actually good. And also some people being confused how the Japanese set's 8 discs and this one's 4. And that's because Justin and David are very good at what they do. And it didn't need 8 discs in the first place, honestly.
Yeah, that seems high.
Four is generally low, except we're very good at this, and we can get the disc numbers up more than most people can because of being very careful. I know Onke has been basking in, like, oh, people are happy with the translation and subtitles. She's just been, like, glowing on Twitter, retweeting people and stuff. And then, during the discotheque stream last week, it was teased that there's something Digimon at Otakon. And people should really be there if they can.
I'll be in the vicinity.
And then I put that I was previously quoted as saying, Yeah, and Otakon's later this month. There was some confusion. A couple days ago, I started getting a lot of messages from people about if anything was announced. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And I think it was Onke who mentioned.
Anime Expo.
Yeah, Onke is like, Anime Expo started today. That's why you're getting messages. Because it started on Friday or Thursday, whatever, and people are like, it's the last day of Otakon, Discotheque's going to announce stuff.
Wow. Get you.
Well, hopefully it's the day that I can actually get there, because I plan to, like, try and do a whole weekend, but people quit, so now I can't take more than one day.
Otakon has not announced schedule stuff yet. Hopefully.
Yeah, God damn it, Otakon!
Because I know people are like, do you know which day it is? Do you know what? Can you tell me? I'm like, I legitimately know nothing about the days. They have not announced it yet.
My plan is I'm going to get into my hotel and I'm going to check the news and see what you announced. Because the hotel will be in Washington. That's as close as I'll get.
I'm enjoying seeing people guessing, because you have people guessing what they
it's
think.
It's Mark with the steelbook.
You see people guessing what they think are the obvious anime guesses, and then you see the people guessing who don't know anything. They're like, I hope they announce a new Digimon story and the Royal Knights aren't in it. And I'm just like, I don't even know how to respond to that. I'm just going to close the tab and move on because I don't.
Yeah, you don't have to respond to that.
I don't have to.
Let their people have their terrible guesses.
But it's such a bad response. It feels like I should. And it's like, no, there's nothing I can say that will help this person.
Yeah.
And then we get another preview storyboard from O to the Beginning. There's some good references here. We get to see Mina. And Meramon.
That's my girl.
And Meramon, I think, is helping cook.
It looks like he's, like, heating up a teapot or something. It's hard to tell.
I thought he was squishing something and cooking it.
No, oh no, he's heating up a teapot. Yeah, he's got his finger underneath and he's warming up a teapot.
Am I wrong, or is Miyako in the storyboard wearing her Kazuna outfit?
Yeah.
She has the headband. So it'll be interesting to see like if she's wearing that outfit at one point in the movie before she switches, or if that's just early storyboard. And that's
possible. I mean, I always thought
every single scene she's wearing something different.
That would be fantastic.
That's Takaru's thing.
No, it's all the Zero Two kids actually change their clothes once in a while, which I always appreciated. But I was with the outfits for the for this cast do seem very wintry. Yeah. Which
well,
might
it,
not
it is,
necessarily...
it is winter. No, it is winter. It is.
Maybe not in India.
That's actually a good point.
Does India have winter?
I don't know. I assume so. And then the certain Digimon partner staff member gave their three favorite Miyako stories. Episode 6, A Dangerous Picnic, which, obvious one. That's the Mimi episode.
Yeah.
Today, Miyako's in Kyoto, another obvious one. And then... Yeah. The Fierce Battle of Love and Borsch, which is another obvious one, although not as much Miyako flavor as you think. It's more that she just yells Borsch and
she's very funny in that.
Okay, wait. I know Yoli yells Borsch and pierogies. I don't know if Miyako yells both, though.
I forgot what.
I know Borsch is in both.
This is one of them. I don't know.
And their favorite line is from episode 14, is because I can't help it, this is real me. I think isn't that like right before Hawkmon's like, he's perfectly happy with who she is. He's not worried about her trying to be someone else.
I don't remember.
It's been so long since I watched it.
That was such a forgettable episode. I have no idea.
I don't remember the episode. I remember her screaming about how she's going to make bad decisions. She got hurt. It's her fault. And I don't know if that's the right episode, because now I'm thinking...
Oh, actually, wait, no, 14's the... I think that might be the Michael episode.
Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of the one when they go to beat up the Digimon Emperor and he gets hurt because she's, like, flipping out. I'm thinking of the wrong episode, aren't I?
Yeah, no, 14's the... that's the one where they introduce Michael. No, that one's okay. That was a solid episode.
That's a solid one. I mostly remember Digitamamon launching himself at the.
Although now I do worry that context of that is that, oh, I can't help it, this is the real me, that she's talking about having a crush on Michael. Contextually not the best, but.
I think that's where she judges people poorly or something.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Because she's like, oh, she had a fight with Digitamamon, so even when he's trying to apologize, she's kind of. I think that's what that's about.
That episode was all over the place. It was fun.
It was a good Digitamon episode.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And then we get Digifest news. So they're going to stream it, which they always do. That includes the audio drama stuff. The stream this time, you can buy the audio drama for the one that you purchase, the script book, which was a ticket thing. And... we don't know if there'll be more, but they said there was going to be, you know, voice-only guest Hiroki Hirata.
Oh.
Who is probably the best person you could get if he's not actually available. And I felt, this is where I see someone who had a take, and I'm like, I'm too tired to correct this person, but I'm glad it's like a positive wrong take. They're like, it must be really hard on him to have to call in for an event like this. And I just went, there's no way in hell they're doing that. He's just going to read the script in a booth somewhere. They're going to record it, and they're going to play it when needed. He's not going to be sitting in his home with a microphone.
Right.
They're going to record him ahead of time.
Yes.
But yeah, there are so many, you could not even go over all his Digimon characters if you wanted to.
We'll be here for a while.
Yeah.
Actually, don't, because...
Yeah, no.
We have stuff to do. And then Zero... This is really weird what they're doing. So Tokyo MX, which is well known as like an anime, shows all the late night animes and stuff. They're going to show Zero 2 in one of their prime slots every Tuesday in the lead up to the movie. But they're showing it a bit odd. So it's not the whole series, which is normal. It's going to be half of it. But they're starting with the second half to do episodes that lead up to the end. To help prepare you for the movie.
Okay.
And then after the movie, it goes back to the beginning to a run through of the Digimon Kaiser stuff.
That's weird.
It is.
Okay.
It's very weird, but I'll wait to see the movie to see if this is a relevant reasoning. Because the vague explanation they give is to prepare you for the movie, you need to see the second half all the way to the end.
What? It would make more sense if they just
shorten it by 7 or 8 weeks. And
it's just like start watching halfway through. It's like, why do they all hate Ken so much?
To be fair, I believe the second episode actually is the one that explains him being a bastard.
Because
they start with the XVmon one, and then the Digivice Tainted by Darkness is next, which explains him being evil.
They should just start with the Christmas episode and let people catch up.
Yes, they should. And then we get cards. So we'll go over these quickly. Patamon Peril Art, that is gorgeous art. That is amazing. And I love the Sakaimon in the background looking like he's going to do evil.
Yeah.
Holy Angemon, I like this. It doesn't feel special because this feels like what Holy Angemon should be.
That's just a Holy Angemon card, yeah.
The parallel card of Takaru looks great. It fits what we've said with these last few anime cards is they fit the vibe of the original show very well.
Yeah.
And I especially like any time they draw Patamon with an actual head, and it upsets people who don't realize that very often they actually do draw him with a head, even in the shows. Palmon. So I really like the Palmon art, but it also fits in the vein of, this is just Palmon art.
He's doing stuff.
Lilymon looks good. I have nothing negative to say here. It looks good. Mimi fits... This is where, again, they draw them slightly different than they do for 2020.
Yes.
So it works well.
Yes.
Commandramon, it's a bunch of them harassing shoppers, I think. And then Brigadramon confused people because the color scheme and the styling, it's the same design, but because of the way it's drawn, it looks really different to some people.
It's the lighting, and also this one's less cluttered than the other one.
Yes, you can't see the clutter, and because of the angle, you can't see the differences on the head, so it looks more like Blue or Greymon.
Yeah.
And they started marking parallel cards. The tiny little star.
Very convenient.
Yes.
Yeah.
Satsuki gets parallel art. This is actually really good, I think, honestly. Mm-hmm. It just looks good. Lugumon,
that
which...
is a very large Nimamon.
The problem with the Lugumon art, honestly... It looks like this could be promotional art that we've seen 100 times. I don't dislike it, but...
That's the picture right before he takes the leak.
Probably.
Yes.
Fenrir Lugumon, which kind of just confuses what Fenrir Lugumon is to people, honestly. Because the art we had before, it's like, okay, he's a four-legged dog thing, we've seen the sprite, and then people look at this and they're kind of turning their heads and going, are we sure? Because he kind of looks like a knight... And he has the cape, and he's doing like a claw thing. Are we sure this isn't Werguruumon with armor?
I mean, we've always confused him with Werguruumon.
And then we get Eiji being Eiji.
That's Eiji. Okay.
WarGreymon. The WarGreymon one I love because it's almost like it's sucking in not just the light, but the colors.
Yeah, it's like desaturation.
Yes, it's doing... To the point that it's confusing some people if it's WarGreymon or Black WarGreymon. The color is there, but it's like it's sucking up light, color, and everything to make that ball, and it works really well. Like, you can see the ground cracking and flaming. It's just really nice.
It is utterly badass.
Angemon's where it's amazing, it's exactly what it should be, but also this could just be normal Angemon art. Like, right. Oh, it's a Renaissance painting Angemon sort of thing. It's exactly and then the interesting thing is this set always had two different card numbers. There was 102 and 104. And then we found out the reason why is it has reprints of the first two ace cards from the recent starter decks, which are in the normal distribution, just rare, featuring new anime style art. Nothing wild to say about these, but I like that they're there. It also helps that Ace just came out, so it's easier to get ace cards. Then we got we have the clean parallel cards, the clean normal cards, recent promo cards.
So many cards.
Yeah. And what's funny is the way that I do the clean cards is when the clean cards go up, I go, okay, it's going to be the clean cards, whatever promo/parallel cards are new as of today and we're not in the last batch. And then a week later, I do the parallel cards, but not any new promo cards. The day they put up the parallel cards, they put up like 20 new promo cards. I just went, oh, yeah, thanks. That's fantastic timing. Just perfect. So, yeah.
They're making you suffer.
Yeah. And then printable playmat. They went with the Angemon art, not the metal gray. They normally go with the key art for these. So they went with Angemon, Patamon, and Tokemon, which works, I think, really well. And the quality was not trashy enough that I had to rejigger it.
Yay.
I like when I save it out and I'm like, oh, this is actually just good enough to use. We get our first art and clean packaging for EX05 Animal Coliseum. That is a good Metal Garurumon X. Kind of chunkier than he normally is, so it looks more mechy. And we get to see Lialmon, Coronamon, and Lunamon, which people have been waiting for a number of those Digimon to show up.
Because they are the best.
Yes. And then we get the premium binder set has a zipper binder with Beelzebubmon and Starbellmon using existing art, plus new promo cards from Western artists. And really good
art. I really want these.
I keep trying to decide which of the cards is my favorite art, and I'm like, these are actually all really good.
I'm leaning a little more towards the Lusamon and the Beelzebubmon X. Like, the other two are still really good, but just the colors on those two.
So they put these up for pre-order in Japan and the US at the same time. And here's the thing. It's overpriced. It's $100, which is overpriced. At the very least, though, you get two of each promo card. Still overpriced, but...
Yeah,
so that's up, which is nice. The 19th Battle Pack... Cutemon, Leomon X, Shoutmon, and Balmon. Leomon X does not fit in this setup. It's like someone went, we're going to do a Cross Wars battle pack. It's Cutemon, Shoutmon, Balmon, and also Leomon X.
And Leomon X, yeah.
He kind of looks like Mad Leomon a little bit. V-Jump. Had a number of card game stuff. Nothing super relevant to talk about, but yeah. We did get to see a new deck box featuring... That is a good deck box featuring Lugamon, where they've kind of turned him into a sigil.
I really like that one.
And they've also revealed that, yes, that 30-card limited card pack at events for Ghost Game characters will be out soon-ish. Card Battle basically focused on letting people know about upcoming events, including an event where you'll get to play against them at various tour events and going over Booster Set 14. And then what Dev wants to talk about, they are re-releasing the Chibimon and Doraemon plushes.
I want them so badly, but they're so expensive.
I admit the Chibimon one I keep thinking of. It is too much, but my brain keeps going, it's too much. But also, it's not that crazy compared to other plushies we've got. Doraemon, I just go look at that. I'm like, oh hell no, no, no.
I just don't know hell yet.
Yeah.
Although I will say, if the exchange rate keeps getting better, the Chibimon's gonna be more tempting. The exchange rate.
If I didn't have to shell out like over $800 for new tires last week, I.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing: the exchange rate at the moment is favorable enough where. Ignoring the shipping and intermediary fees, that's $76. That's not as bad as it was when this came out a year ago.
Very true.
I've seen one or two people get the Doraemon. I've seen a bunch of people online import the Chibimon, though. People really want that fucking plush.
Well, it's a good size for cuddling. It's adorable. It's accurate.
I'm sorry. Did you just see the message in our chat? Someone bought both of them. They say shipping was $350.
Oh, jeez.
Is that in United States dollars, or is that different countries' dollars? Holy shit. Oh, that is you. Yeah, fuck. I'm not getting near them. I'm not thinking about them. Oh, shit. I can't afford to even think about that Chibimon. Jesus Christ.
I still want it, but
I hope you knew what the shipping was going to be before the intermediary got it. That would not be a good surprise cost to find out about at the end. Ooh.
No, not at all.
And then the Ichiban Kuji lottery starts in a few weeks in Japan, and we finally got we knew what the figures were because those are coming out as Ichiban Shiro in the US. The rest of the prizes are far better than I expected. So you get the D prize is a stand featuring new Digimon adventure art, which this is some of the best adventure art we've got in years, I think. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. It's nice.
Then 7 towels featuring art from Adventure Zero Two and Tamers. And again, these all look really good. Like, when we say anime plus, this is what we're thinking of. Then 10 Arch.
Like, I'd be fine with winning any of these.
Yeah,
honestly.
This is a weird one where, like, there is no booby prize. The F prizes are art sheets featuring those same 7 arts plus art of each lead kid and their Digimon. And this is some of the best anime style art we've gotten in years, honestly. Like, like looking at like the, because like the Tai Chi looks like anime Tai Chi, the Daisuke looks like anime Daisuke, and the Takato looks like anime Takato. You normally get a bit of a blending in style, and that's not happening with this, and it's amazing, honestly. Like, it's really fucking good. And then 1 of 7 rubber coasters, which you get Art of War Greymon, Imperial Dramon, Dukemon, Agumon, Gabumon, or the Digivices. We've gotten Digivices like these before, but these apparently are new designs. I
think we've just gotten, like, little rubber straps.
Yes. Yeah, so these would be a bit bigger coasters. My only concern is the designs look nice, but if those are 3D designs, that's not going to be good for a coaster.
I feel like it's probably just kind of, like, etched in.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Flat.
It's worse. They say the 350 was actually just for Doraemon shipping.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, well, I'm glad. So I can think about Chibimon, I just can't order it. Doraemon, I have to stop saying his name before FedEx just shows up asking for money. And they also did give an additional detail for this. The last one, War Greymon, is identical to normal. It's not specially colored.
Oh, that's a shame.
I don't remember if... Did the Omegamon end up being specially colored last time? I think it was just a bit darker, wasn't it?
I have entirely forgotten that one existed.
I have that figure somewhere in a box. And then the figures that we knew were going to show up eventually, new pops. Patamon, Gomamon. I have to say, I think both of these actually look really good, especially the Gomamon.
For pop figures, they look fantastic.
The Gomamon looks great, honestly.
Yeah, I would get both of these in a second.
Yeah.
I want to get 2 of the Patamon and recolor one as Tsukaimon.
Tsukaimon? I already have a Tsukaimon plush.
Okay, wait. When we first found out about these and saw the pictures of, did you send me a message saying that? I swear that I remember this coming up.
I'm pretty sure I like either said it in the Discord or.
Okay, you said that. I'm like, I could swear I've heard this from Dev before, but we've only known about this for a week.
I think it's about 2 weeks.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah, so the second wave is only 2. I think that Gomamon one's a good VIP design, honestly.
Absolutely.
That looks great. So those are...
I hope these do well so that I can get the rest of them.
Yeah, so these will be out in September, and they're
13. I don't know how the rest of them are going to top that.
I think Tentomon would be really cool.
See, Tentomon...
I'm scared of how they would do Tentomon.
See, here's where I'm worried about Tentomon. I'm worried Tentomon, they do something like Patamon, but they just paint the back. Where they give him like a generic sitting design and focus on the head.
Yeah.
I think the one that you could really do a nice pop of... And it's weird. I've never bought a pop. Any pops I have just appeared. Like,
I usually get the monster style ones.
No, see, any pops I got were something like, oh, I want to get that nice set of Batman Blu-rays, and it comes with a pop. And I don't know where the pop is because I just kind of push it to the side. I think you could do a nice Palmon one.
Oh, I was going to say Tailmon would be a good, could be a good pop.
Tailmon, it feels like the, you'd already have a cat you could bounce off of.
Yeah. But you could make Tailmon work really well.
Yeah. So, yeah, I imagine those. That Gomamon feels like it just works so well, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then V-Jump had a little section for merchandise. We get to see the Digifest merchandise, which we also had some photos of. Black War Greymon kit, Shine Greymon Amplify kit. That Shine Greymon really looks nice, honestly. Everything I've seen of that kit just looks great. And then the amazing kit of the week was we got the images and pre-order details for the Metal Greymon Amplified, and hot damn did they go nuts with this one.
It is absolutely amazing.
Oh.
So the kit itself is a great design. It also has all the parts for the Alteros mode arm, various parts for alternate weaponry and swapping stuff. It's a very good one. A bit more expensive. This is about 50.
The Amplified Kits of, one was like 80.
Yes. Now, but here's
this is really good.
Here, this is where I'm waiting till the kit shows up for people to know, because the design of the arm is actually the same as Machine German's. But I want to know, is it just the design is the same, or are they actually reusing the part because they can? But yeah, the Alteros motor. This really feels like one that we're going to see a virus at Premium Bandai in 6 months.
Please.
But this one is just very impressive looking. The wings look great. The horn, everything. Pre-orders for that are up at various stores. And then for the various Saturday match. First up, Final Cup was finally held. As far as I know, they shut it down after a day and kicked it back a few days because there were issues. I think people could get in if they weren't in the top 100. Yeah. Then we got photos of the early Digifest merchandise. I will say, this all actually looks nicer than I was expecting, especially the light D3 things. I wasn't expecting, like, they're cheap crap, but I wasn't expecting them to actually look nice. The Toei Museum put up a number of photos showing off Digimon stuff there. I really like all, like, I know the fancy thing is having, like, the store and the Agumon statue. I love when they show the tiny little decorations.
Mm-hmm.
Then in China, it was the Dragon Boat Festival. Toei put up art of Mimi and Palmon. That poor Palmon looks like she's about to fall off the boat. I think she's getting Titanic'd. Because doesn't it look like she's like trying to hold on desperately?
Or like tilting it back from overturning.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nice, cute art. And then from the most recent weekend, licensing expos in China and Toei's big display really featured Digimon heavily. Giant statue of 2020 Tai Chi and Agumon. You had a poster wall with the original. You had a photo shot of the original with the train car. They showed off some merchandise. And it was one of their top franchises in their little booklet display stuff. Then we got 5 reference book updates. And man, everyone did go hog wild when they figured out that I had found high-resolution versions of them. It sure would be a shame if we never got those again. I think this is the highest resolution we've ever gotten clean reference book art of. Dev, can you think of any that would be higher than these?
Honestly, I can't really think of any.
Yeah, I think it's these. So we got Soul Lugermon, Hell Lugermon, Fenrir Lugermon, High Commandermon, and Brigadramon. And you're just thinking about Brigadramon, another piece of art where he looked completely different. Like he's almost more neon here. It's neon mm-hmm. Greymon. He's going to a rave.
Yeah, because like on like the card art, it's much less.
It's very much like army fatigue,
literally navy colored. This one's just holy shit, this one's phosphorescent.
Yeah. Then Tenya Buna put up, this is art that he did for the 25th anniversary museum last year. He put up to celebrate Dreamers being available basically around the world at this point. And Yeah, very nice to see. I like, though, how he even points out, if you missed it when it was in Psycho Jump, take this chance to check it out. He's like, it's a comedy series published in a children's magazine, but support it. And even go support it along with Digimon Seekers. And it's how nice that he did that. Because I would not have. Then
like, oh, by the way, Seekers exists.
Yeah, and then we got summer art for the beginning of July. We get the first appearance of the Bonds of Friendship motorcycle mode.
Right. Yeah.
And Beelzebubon is very confused about this. And also, I don't like the motorcycle art for one key reason. When I look at it, I go, was this whole thing a setup to look like Kamen Rider from the beginning? Because it's the motorcycle, and he has those flame wreaths. And it's like those look like a Cyborg 09 type Kamen Rider. And it's like, oh, this is. It's like, did Kenji Watanabe do this from the beginning? Is this because? And then I flash back to him saying that the original intention for the wings on Merciful Mode, what they're supposed to be, the scarf.
Yes, I remember.
And I'm like, did he do this twice?
Yes.
And it's like, yes, he did. And then, in case you missed it earlier, the anniversary art again. And they also changed out the banner to show Tailmon, Triceramon, and the Pendulum. Triceramon was also first from the Pendulum, wasn't he?
I don't remember.
I'm going to go ahead and say that they are from that anniversary year, though. Let's see. And then time for questions. You guys in chat can throw yours in. First one that we were sent ahead of time was, do we think there's a chance Digimon Dreamers will get a collected version in English later? That they paid for a like decent translation, to me, I would hope so, even if it's digitally, because I would definitely buy it.
An ebook seems a pretty likely release. Yeah.
Like, throw it on digital platforms for $10 or $15. We're probably getting a second volume in Japan to finish it off. Do that. I will happily buy it. Do we have anything else to add to that, or are we just going with probably?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. AR?
I can do it better.
I can hear AR trying to decide if he has anything to say.
I really don't. I wasn't even thinking ebook when this question was posed. I was thinking physical.
Well, so was I.
No.
Dev kind of went, they should at least do an ebook, and I kind of went, yeah, I don't
then,
know.
Yeah, ebook. Ebook is fine.
Because the one oddity is like, they're kind of doing it themselves. As far
as
we know.
Like you already can see it.
Yeah. Then any summer activities we're looking forward to?
Not.
I want to go to Otakon.
Not being outside.
Yeah, that kind of fits my mind. Like, hey, look, it's going to be hot. I have a family member having surgery later this week. I do not have plans, minus getting stuff done.
I don't want to have plans, but I do is the problem. Like, I keep getting pushed out of the house. I want to not be.
I want to watch movies that I've fallen behind on.
I need to catch up on Oshinoko and G-Witch and...
Oh, yeah,
Fate and Nimona and all other stuff.
When I heard Gundam Witch was indeed ending at episode 24, I'm like, oh, that will be easy to just sit down and watch at one point when I have time. So we've kind of already answered this, but just really quickly, did any of us get the life-size Digimon Pluses? I actually have one of them. Not those two. Mochimon is somewhere in a box because I don't think I ever opened it.
I mean, it's not specifically the life-size series, but some of them are actually just coincidentally life-size.
Oh, the Squishables?
Yes.
Yeah, those are like...
Oh, yeah. I've got one of those.
Those are pseudo-life-size enough that I would say it counts for a number of them.
Yeah.
Who do you guys have?
I have Tanemon.
I don't think I could find Tanemon.
I took pictures of some of them, but I don't remember which I did.
Like, I have the Agumon, the Gabumon, and Koromon.
How are the weird ball ones?
They honestly,
look squishy.
They are squishy, they're soft to hug, but they just look kind of weird, so they just kind of sit in storage.
With the weird, with the weirdo faces and the balls.
Yeah.
Tanemon's up on my shelf behind everybody else, though, so I can't really see her.
Then someone wants to know, what is our favorite type of chips and dip?
I'm in the corn chip Tostitos Fritos family.
I usually don't dip chips. Usually I don't add them to sandwiches.
The only chips I dip is tortilla chips with salsa. And I will occasionally go, you know, I should get some Ruffles and some sour cream and throw in onion soup mix to it.
I don't dip.
I generally
do
not.
On a super rare occasion, I might grab like the French onion dip and some Ruffles, but it's just once in a rare while.
Yes,
usually my husband has and steal some.
That's where mine falls into. I used to eat way too many Flaming Hot Cheetos.
I miss Cheeto Paws.
I remember the crunch on those where it's kind of like almost like a crackly crunch.
Yes, it's a very satisfying crunch. They had them again pretty recently, and then they just stopped making them, despite me.
There have been some weird chips that don't exist. Did you guys ever have Tings?
Tings? No, never heard of those.
New ones, or
no? It's the company that made Pirate's Booty before they were sold off. They had other chips. Tings are basically, it's like the corn chip of the Cheeto, but without the cheese.
So it's like a crunchy
corn chip. It's like a corn puff, but very crunchy, but without the cheese flavoring. They were very good.
I don't like the texture of puff chips.
No. They're not the puff ones. They're the crunchy ones.
Those are more palatable, but I think I prefer corn chips to be chips.
Yeah. But yeah, like AR said, Fritos are also a very good choice.
Like I'm not a big Cheetos person.
I did used to mow through cheese balls.
It's hit or miss what I'm in the mood for.
Yeah.
Like usually I'll vacillate between
my cheese intake is Cheez-It.
Okay. Have Cheez-Its, but also with like chocolate milk. That's really friggin' good.
Oh, that does sound good, actually.
Cheez-Its, did you know Cheez-Its started making snack mixes? I tried one a few days ago. It was actually really good. It was like Cheez-Its with pretzels, with some of the, you know, dried crouton type things, a bit of what appeared to be Chex, basically flavored like Chex mix, and it went really well with the Cheetos. For some reason, I expected like cheese flavoring for like the mix. And instead it was more like a garlic Worcestershire sauce. And it worked really well.
When I want Cheez-Its, I just want the Cheez-Its. I don't need to mix it up.
And question from Juggernaut. Why does Bandai not license Digimon Squishables for version 2? Probably just something like, I think we've seen prototypes for more Squishables. I assume it's more just that Bandai mows through enough plushies that it's not super valuable for them to license out to do other plushies.
Yeah, but also, they probably didn't, like, some of them probably didn't sell as well, just because I know.
As I recall, also, aren't all Squish, or at least at the time they were, I don't think it is anymore, aren't all Squishables technically limited editions of only, like, 2,000 or something?
Some of them used to be. Like, they have ones where it's just like, oh, it's user submitted, and you vote on them, and then they'll run, like, this many of them.
Yeah, it's hard to say why not. I would just assume either A, it did not work out the way Bandai or Squishable wanted, because Squishable could have made more prototypes that didn't work out, or B, at some point after years and years, we will randomly get a second one. And why is Google saying there is a zero audio bitrate? The audio bitrate is not zero.
Rate limit exceeded.
Did he buy YouTube now? Did he buy Google? Is he going to ruin that also?
He's very lonely.
Yes.
Let's move on before we get cut off.
Then, someone asked, in regards to Digimon Dreamers, do you think it's a good introduction to Digimon as a franchise? Based on the first two chapters, I'd say it's a great introduction, especially for little kids.
For kids, yeah. I'd say it's a good introduction for kids. For teenagers and up, I think they might need something more, a little bit more involved.
It's also like a good introduction just because like, hey, this is a virtual pet, silly shit happens.
It has to be something that in the background you could imagine someone making a bad anime music video and syncing it to Crawling by Linkin Park. You can't do that to Dreamers.
You could if you want
Yeah, but you can do that to Ghost Game. And it would probably be really good.
But the problem is the show will not live up to the anime music video.
Yeah, that one's the one where the Linkin Park music video is better than the anime.
Last chance for questions in chat. Sorry, go ahead, AR.
That was my point.
Okay. And then someone wants to know, they were wondering if we feel like Bandai and Toei are doing any hints for DigiFest. Yes and no. They're not doing they're putting up this random image for no reason type stuff. The only thing that I think you could see as really Clue is they definitely are putting up a lot of pendulum images.
Give me a pendulum color, you cowards.
Yeah. But in general, it's like people keep going, oh, are there movie clues? No, they've told us movie. Everything DigiFest this year is the O2 movie.
Yeah, there's a movie happening. That's the story.
So
the real news is they canceled it. Fuck you. Everyone go home.
Oh, the O2 conspiracy theorists when that happens. You thought they were annoying during Try.
Oh, they're still being annoying about Try. My personal favorite are the people like, based on the trailer, does that mean they're retconning Try? Because they died at the beginning of it. Motherfuckers, watch it before you comment.
You should maybe watch Try.
Yes. I literally saw someone going, are they retconning Try? Because they died at... Did you not notice the movie 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And ask this question then?
I still like the people who think Kazuna retconned Try, even though Mako was in it.
Yes. And also, a lot of the thematic shit in that movie
is
based around...
It's a continuation of the themes of Try. Yes. Yeah.
To the point that a lot of times in interviews, even in Japan, people were like, it's the newest Digimon Adventure Try film.
It basically was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is it for questions. AR, what have you been up to and what shall you be up to?
I've been doing convention stuff. I've been doing convention stuff plus family stuff. I will be doing convention stuff and less family stuff, just convention stuff for the next few weeks. It's the busy season. 3 weeks until convention, I'm kind of swamped.
July feels like it's when we all get swamped for a bit.
Yes. At the end of the month, I will be heading to Washington, D.C., so I will be in a literal swamp.
At the end of the month?
Yeah.
At the end of the month, I have problems, because I'm pretty sure Otakon and DigiFest are the same weekend.
RIP.
I go to Otakon, I can handle that stuff.
No, you can't, because remember, I do the social media for Discotech.
RIP.
The way it works out best for me is if the convention panel stuff ends up being scheduled where I have to wake up early and I get to like rant that I'm waking up at 5 a.m. because it's 8 a.m. over there, because then the stuff in Japan will be so much later during the day that there's no effect on each other minus me waking up.
I'll be on a plane the whole time. I'll be just chilling. I'll look up the news when I land.
Will you be leaving on a jet plane? Don't know when you'll be back again.
Precisely.
There we go. Dev, what Wikimon article do you like people to read? And you are not allowed to pick Bonds of Friendship.
God damn it. Thunderbirdmon!
I know where your mind was going. You're going to be like, I'm going to pick the motorcycle. That's easy.
Well, actually, there was a pun earlier, and I was trying to remember what the hell it was, but then I forgot entirely.
Sheepmon?
Yes. That's it.
Don't worry, I'm using that in the title, even though I used it in the section anyways.
That is entirely fair.
So we will catch you guys in 2 weeks, which is 2 weeks before Otakon, DigiFest, AR not being around that day, so we'll figure out when it will be. So we will see you guys probably on the 17th, and then we'll figure it out 2 weeks after that. And catch you guys later, and thank you for showing up, and bye!
Bye.
Bye.